Protect your boats and recreational vehicles with FBP RV and Marine antifreeze. It has burst-proof protection down to negative 50 degrees, keeping you protected against freezing temperatures. Keep your winter worry-free with FBP ready-to-use RV and Marine antifreeze now at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of automotive products.
Save big money at Menards.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
First Sunday in August. It feels like it's the first Sunday. Look at that. I'm already ready for football season. The first Friday in August. It's a football Friday. We're ready to go today. And also, if you had fun in hour number one, wait till you see hour number two. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Joe Ranieri. And as we welcome in the man, the myth, the legend. And by the way, this man gets carried every night on radio by Mike Carver. Let's go, Lisa Radio. Joe, how we feeling, baby? How we feeling?
What did I do to deserve this at 9 o'clock in the morning, guys? Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me. And officially football season. There's no joke. This is it. Football is back, college and pro, for the next 6 months. Nothing better, guys.
No, it is fantastic. And I always say this too, Joe. We take a look at the future, and we just had our first preseason game. We understand how quick football season goes. We'll be talking Super Bowl. It'll feel like in a blink of an eye, so cherish these moments and have some fun. And, yes, let the betting commence. Now, I want to start here. I was listening yesterday to Pro Football Full Circle on the radio. It was George Kurtz. It was Joe Lisi. And all I kept hearing was, we got to get these alt-overs in. We got to go 41.5 at FanDuel, 42.5, 43.5, 44.5. Maybe the best bet that I've ever seen, 21-17 final, not because they didn't want to score. The game ended prematurely due to suspension. Talk about the feelings in the room, Joe, that you had yesterday, knowing you had a golden ticket in your hand, and what happened there.
Oh, Donnie, it was reminiscent of the game back in 2003 with Ron Dayne in Wisconsin going up against Jason Thomas and UNLV. They pulled the transformer before 55 minutes. I mean, that's it. The books were out there, you know, creating a weather delay. It was unbelievable. I told Carver last night, we had 31 points in the first half, and I said, watch, something's weird is going to happen. They're going to, you know, the lights will go out, everything. Something always happens in terms of the Hall of Fame game, the turf, something's going to happen. And sure enough, after I booked the two touchdown bet with Houston, that was plus 230. All of a sudden, after the 38th point, the rain came in. We never got it back. They voided the bets. I don't care. Football is back. That over was the right bet. We would have gotten it at 7-1. And it's unfortunate because both offenses were humming last night.
They were humming all right. I mean, where's that Brett Rippin, Ben, Joe? Exactly. That would be absolutely fantastic. But when you look at it now, I don't know. Is there all of a sudden a battle for the number two spot here on the Bears? Are you a big Brett Rippin? You think he's the right guy to back up the rookie that you can trust him? Or is Badgett? What do you do here if you're the Bears?
I mean, you go with which, you know, quarterback performs in terms of game situations. For me right now, would be Brett Rippin. Look like he had a good handle of the offense. He extended that Houston secondary vertically, and the touchdown passes to Colin Johnson really stood out. Mm. But Davis Mills looks sharp as well, guys. That's the biggest thing is that, you know, a lot of these teams go in conservative in terms of these preseason environments, and I understand injury, but at the same time, you still want to develop the young talent to have them ready should a player or a starter go down. So I think it should be Brett Rippin. Colin Johnson, the former Texas Longhorn, looked great. Ooh. Nice that he's getting back to where he was back in college. Never panned out with the Giants in Jacksonville. Hopefully he could stick with the Chicago Bears, guys.
How about this, Joe? An Eberflus team on pace for 40 passes in a single game here? Maybe a new leaf is turning over in Chicago. Before we get to some other statistics in that game, obviously the reason why a lot of us were watching last night was to see the new kickoff rules and how they played out in real time. And as they started the telecast off, it wasn't just like the public watching it. Other teams around the league wanted to see how it was going to play out. So let's start there. You see the opening kickoff and how it works. Are we liking it? Is it going to take some time to get used to it? What were your general thoughts on that last night, Joe?
Oh, I'm loving it, Donnie. You know, we saw this in the XFL and the UFL in regards to spring football, and I think it brings special teams back. You saw every return man, for the most part, return the kickoff, and that's what you want to see. You want to see special teams back in the game because it could be a momentum changer, right? You know, punt returns, kickoff returns were always a part of, you know, big wins, especially changing the complexity of a potential, you know, team that's down or a team that's tied. That's what you want to see. And it gives an opportunity for second and third teamers to make teams now, right? We special teams and the kickoff is back. Guys aren't just taking it out and calling a fair catch at the 25-yard line. So I love it, guys.
When I looked at these rosters yesterday, before everyone announced, of course, that no starters would even sniff the field, which was expected here, Joe. Is there two teams? You may not all year see two teams who are more loaded at wide receiver than these two damn teams here. Between DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank. I mean, you go down the list on these two teams' rosters from a wide. And now you just mentioned Colin Johnson also showing up here. I mean, these two teams are going to be throwing the ball a lot this year, are they not?
I believe so. I believe more Houston than Chicago. I still believe Matt Eberflus wants to win games 17-13 as opposed to 40-20. And now with Caleb Williams there, you should open it up, especially to get him that type of experience. There is no margin of error for the Chicago Bears. 8.5 win total. Mm-mm. They're expected to challenge for an NFC North, you know, division title and, more importantly, a wild card appearance. So unless they open it up, I don't think they have a very good shot. Conversely, for Houston, you mentioned all the wide receivers that they have. John Metchie's there as well. Let's not forget him. I mean, you know, the depth that C.J. Stroud has now at his disposal, along with Joe Mixon coming out of the backfield that could catch the football as well. I believe Houston's offense is going to be explosive. Maybe I'm curious to see where we book all these totals for C.J. Stroud and Houston right now. He blew right through them last year. Going to have to put them in the 48-49 area for much of their games.
By the way, if we'll take a look at maybe the head-to-head comparison, what the expectations on these two young quarterbacks will be. But just heading into the preseason itself, Joe, what are some of your thoughts as you line up on a preseason game? Caleb Williams is a rookie, hasn't played yet in the NFL. Do you think he should have got some snaps last night? Because for me, you know, Joe, Rainier and I were talking a little bit earlier. You have to start the entire 11. Like, because people don't understand, like, why is he getting any snaps? We're not putting him out there with third-string guys that aren't going to be on the football team as your franchise guy over the next 10 to 15 years. But what are your thought process behind a young quarterback getting extra reps in the preseason? Do they need it or not?
You see, I think Caleb Williams needs it. And I understand not putting him out there with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. But, you know, this is a team that really, again, has to make the playoffs. The pressure's on Matt Eberflus. And from what I saw Caleb Williams last year, especially in the game against Notre Dame, there were games where he didn't and failed to step up. Three interceptions, tailed off towards the end of the regular season. And, again, even though he's got the physical attributes, he needs to hit the ground running. There is no margin of error. I keep saying it because Chicago is supposed to win 9 or 10 football games. If you didn't open up the offense or allow Justin Fields to open it up last year, you got to do it with Caleb Williams, and you have to do it in the preseason. So you can't wait till week number one and say, we'll work out the kinks or we'll work out the weaknesses then. You have to do it now. I'm expecting next game he gets a lot of reps.
I'm not a big Caleb Williams guy, Joe. I don't know what you think. The hype around this guy is laughable. Don't forget, Stroud, nobody was even talking about Stroud after he fell down the draft board, right? And look what, that was perfect for Stroud. what they are blowing towards Caleb Williams here, it can only go one way, Joe. It ain't going to go up. It can only be disappointment. And I am worried about this Bears team here. What are you a Caleb Williams guy?
No. I mean, again, I think he's got the physical attributes. I think the best quarterback in this draft class was Jaden Daniels, and I'll stick to that right now. Caleb has the first-round talent, but I'm with you. I'm selling Chicago the whole season.
Yep. As Joe Lisi would say, the Chicago Bears have a gutless head coach here. We'll see how it plays out in 2024. Let's take a look at the matchups between these two teams. There are a lot of similarities with quarterback play, offensive explosiveness, and how these two teams will factor on possibly making the playoffs. Football Friday? Yeah, you said it. We'll be right back. More fun on the way.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two of Football Friday here. It's Donnie, Joe, and Joe. And there's no better than to talk to Joe Lisi here when we're lining up an NFL season that's on the horizon. And what we saw yesterday, just a slight little appetizer. Now, if we do bring in these two teams from yesterday into the equation, it was an entertaining first half before the rains came in and stalled this game out. We got to look at the new kick returns. We'll see how they play out during the season. But I want to take a look at these two teams because there are similarities. A young quarterback with a lot of hype coming in. CJ Stroud last year, top two draft pick, we expected some good things out of. I don't think anybody expected him to be in the MVP race towards the end of the season, winning big football games on the road, winning divisions and playoff games. He did that last year. But Joe Lisi, I want to bring you into the conversation on this. Does what CJ Stroud did last year put more expectations this year on Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I think it does, Donnie. I think that's why you're seeing the 8.5 win total. I mean, 8.5 win total to me would have been if Justin Fields would have come back as the starting quarterback. He won 7 games last year. He obviously gutted out some games, had some big performances, and he's still an experienced quarterback. Caleb Williams having an 8.5, 9 win total is eerily similar to just hit the ground running, throw for 4,000 yards and 25-plus touchdown passes with no growing pains, and that's similar to what C.J. Stroud did last year, but I think we're forgetting about the other quarterbacks that were taken in the first round and how they struggled, and rookie quarterbacks in general, how they struggle with new teams. And again, we have a very conservative head coach in Matt Eberflus that would fail to open up the offense to really allow Justin Fields to shine and put playmakers around him. And now with Caleb Williams, you're expected to do that this year, not just to make the playoffs, but to save your job. So that is the expectation right now. This team goes 6-11. Matt Eberflus is not going to be the head coach next year. So they're going to be right back to where they started, you know, with Justin Fields at the end of the regular season and making a decision on that. That's bad for Caleb Williams' growth, and that's bad for the organization as a whole. So I agree with you 100%. This number is evident because of the success that C.J. Stroud had last season.
So we talked a lot about the wide receiver room in both of these teams, but can I tell you, Khalil Herbert for the Bears, who is now, people understand DeAndre Swift is really going to be the lead guy, but having a guy like Khalil Herbert, and did you even remember Cam Akers? Because he's out there running all over the place, Joe. He's making cuts. We forget that Cam Akers, when healthy, was a difference maker here. The running backs on both of these teams, I think, are going to play huge roles this year. That's a hell of a Bears combo there, having DeAndre Swift and Khalil Herbert.
Oh, absolutely. Khalil Herbert was very productive at Virginia Tech, and he's a player that can catch the football out of the backfield. Roshan Johnson is there as well, the big back that can get the tough yards between the tackles to spell DeAndre Swift as well. So I think the Bears are very set in regards to the running back position. You look at Cam Akers last year. I mean, he hurt his Achilles with the LA Rams, hurt it last year against Minnesota in week number 9, and he looks very sharp if he plays the way he does throughout the preseason, that's going to be a player that you can count on to spell carries for Joe Mixon, and he can catch the football as well. So another added weapon for C.J. Stroud. That's what you want to do. You want to build up these guys heading into week number one so you have diversity, and you more importantly, you have players you can rely on down to make a playoff run.
Yeah, I think that blueprint is now pretty much solidified. When you get a good, young, talented quarterback, you don't wait on him to get good and try to find his way. You get players around him to help him get good at a faster clip. Now, if we are talking about the Houston Texans, loved what they did in the offseason. You had a couple nice trades that you made. Obviously, Hunter comes over as defensive end. Fantastic move. But more importantly, you get a guy at wide receiver to add to that already talented wide receiving core in Stephon Diggs. Who knows if he's going to be the dominant Diggs that we saw 2 to 3 years ago as opposed to what we saw down the stretch, but I do think good things are here. Joe, I want to ask you this question. Team win total 9.5 this year for the Texans. I look at that number because it's hard to find anybody that's down on the Texans. If you look last year, they finished 10-7. They won the division. The number 9.5, boy, I think that is a sharp number. So is there any doubt in your mind that the ascension is here for the Texans? They win 10 plus games, or how can this go off the rails a bit where they take a step back and maybe win 8 to 9 games and not even the division?
Yeah, I think injuries, Donnie, right? That would really curtail Houston's efforts to potentially win 10 or 11 games, not just on the offensive side of the ball, but on the defensive side of the ball as well. I believe in D'Amico Ryans, year number two in terms of his scheme. I think he could elevate Will Anderson and that unit up to potentially a top 15 unit. It's going to come down to can C.J. Stroud stay healthy. I think there's no doubt he erased all the doubts last year. I really believe he is one of the best quarterbacks in the AFC. I don't put him up there yet with Josh Allen, obviously, Joe Burrow and Pat Mahomes that won 3 Super Bowls right now. But he's on that trajectory, right? I mean, he can stretch defenses vertically. And the biggest thing for me about C.J. Stroud, Donnie, is the fact that he maintained his poise and composure. He didn't get rattled in certain situations. In the playoff game, he stepped up against one of the better defenses in the AFC and torched them early. And to have Stephon Diggs now to warrant double teams and take it away from Nico Collins, that could be his biggest attribute outside of catching passes.
You worried at all about the sophomore slump? Let's face it now, a year of tape for defensive coordinators here, JoJo, on Stroud. This is we're going to learn a little something about him. I mean, no doubt he's good, but they are going to be game planning in a big way against him. And are you confident enough he can overcome it? Because it feels like a lull is coming at some point this year.
It seems that way, but I believe in him. And again, you saw him challenge Georgia in the semifinal playoff game. Mm. That was his coming out party. And then what he did in the playoffs, I don't think there's going to be that much of a drop-off in terms of productivity, especially now when you have multiple weapons. He could check down at every level. Running back, tight end with Dalton Schultz, he has every level of the passing tree covered as it relates to this roster. So I think he's going to be just fine, guys.
Houston Texans to make the playoffs, a -210 price. The Chicago Bears to make the playoffs, a -104 price. Big things expected for both of these young quarterbacks once again in 2024. But let's talk about good quarterbacks and injured feet next. Oh boy, the Chargers in a bit of trouble. We'll talk about it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talking football on a Friday morning here on the Early Line. Get used to it, people. It's only the beginning. Over the next 6, 7, 8 months, it is going to be fantastic. Sooner than later, we will be handicapping regular season football, playoff football, and right through to the Super Bowl. But injuries already creeping up in the preseason, I should say, before we even get to the preseason. So let's bring in here once again Joe Lisi, Joe Ranieri, having fun on a Friday. But injuries, never a fun thing. An Adam Schefter tweet yesterday, Chargers announced Justin Herbert was diagnosed with an injury to the plantar fascia in his right foot. Per the team, quote, doctors have recommended approximately 2 weeks in a boot, followed by a graduated return to play protocol. So just starting there, you're getting ready for your season. It's a new regime, Joe Lisi. boy, this is bad news, because if your quarterback is not going to run that new offense over the next couple of weeks and expect it just to be parachuting in September to play, this isn't a good start for Harbaugh here.
No, it's not. And I've had that injury and we talked about it. It is very painful, could linger throughout the regular season. I'm shocked, guys, that this team has a price better than the Cleveland Browns, a team that made the playoffs with the first-year head coach, Jim Harbaugh, excuse me, get him confused with his brother, that won a national championship with Michigan. How they're plus 102 or right there, almost even money to make the playoffs is mind-boggling to me. I don't even think they're the second-best team in the AFC West. Jim Harbaugh is going to weed out the players that fit his roster and don't fit his roster. He's going to bring back physicality to the offense and defensive lines, and that's not a one-year fix. That's a two- or a three-year fix. And now that Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are no longer on that roster and Austin Eckler, I think there's going to be growing pains in year one. So, again, I'm selling the Chargers along with the Bears. I don't think they make the playoffs this year. I think Jim Harbaugh is the right coach, but this is a huge blow to the offense having Justin Herbert out of preseason right now.
It's not even close. I mean, you got Greg Roman, right? Your new OC. You got the new coach Harbaugh. You have an entire new wide receiving core, right? And now all of a sudden you're gone, nowhere to be found. Let's just say, Joe, that he spends the next 2 weeks in a boot, which means he won't be out of the boot and won't be able to gradually start practicing until at least August 15th or 16th. Their final camp practice is August 22nd. The season opens September 8th. If there's any setbacks, how the hell is he going to be ready for game one in the season? You better brush up on Easton Stick's knowledge, I guess, here.
Yeah, Easton Stick was a train wreck last year. I mean, absolutely. Look at that game against Las Vegas where they got blown out. He was absolutely atrocious. So, again, this isn't North Dakota State. You know, you're not playing inside the dome. You're playing now with Jim Harbaugh that is expected to win at least 9 or 10 games. Again, I think Justin Herbert will play potentially week one, week two, maybe if they keep him out. But it doesn't matter. It's still that they have such a high win total and such high expectations in year number one with a complete new offense and defensive scheme. And this team had one of the worst defense under Brandon Staley. Remember him, coach of the year? He's gone. It's unbelievable in terms of the expectations that we put on the LA Chargers, and all they do is fail. I'm sorry, guys, selling Harbaugh in year number one.
I do think Harbaugh is going to have success once again in the NFL. Basically, he's been successful everywhere he's gone. But the one thing that we talk about, too, with the Chargers is, over the past couple of years, the talent, Joe, has always been there. We just kept asking, well, outside of a kicker that could never make field goals down the stretch, which was certainly an anomaly, we just need a coach that's going to put us in the right position and let the talent take over. Were you surprised that he came in and changed that talent drastically right off the bat, as opposed to just giving it a run with the players to evaluate? Or were you happy the fact that he came in and made those major changes to get his guys in there and his right of way going immediately?
No, I thought it was a great move, Donnie. And I'll throw another team in regards to Denver and Sean Payton that thought he could just sprinkle the pixie dust on the Denver Broncos and take them to a playoff appearance. He saw the hard way in regards to now he's in a complete rebuild. Same thing, I think, you know, with Brian Daboll and the New York Giants, overexceed expectations with the talent that they had as opposed to ripping it down and starting from year one the complete rebuild. Jim Harbaugh is doing it the right way. That's why I agree with you. Long term, he's the right coach for the job. It's just that in year number one, the expectation is there to make the playoffs, and that's why I'm selling. It's going to take a couple of years to get his guys and instill the culture in the locker room, and that's exactly what the LA Chargers need, guys.
We could talk football all morning long, but Joe Lisi's got some pressing needs a little bit later. Make sure you catch them on Pro Football Full Circle, and also the anchor, as we like to say, on Carver and Lisi. That's Joe Lisi right there. Catch him at night as well. We love Joe Lisi around this network. Thanks for joining us today on a Friday. Good luck on the rest of your day, and enjoy the weekend here. Much more to come right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We got you covered in every sport, every certain way. You want baseball, you want football, you want basketball, you want Olympics. We got you covered right here on the early line. It's Donnie Wrightside here along with Joe Ranieri. And let's welcome in Brian Fonseca of the Action Network. It's time to get down to the business. But before we do that, it's a Friday. We've watched a lot of Olympics. How are we feeling out there, Brian?
We are feeling a little upset that Australia didn't get the -4.5 against Greece just now. Greece pulled off an upset. And it's fine because won a couple bets earlier with Brazil just smacking Japan this morning. But, you know, overall, good betting day so far. And a little surprising result this morning with Greece beating Australia like that.
There we go. We'll see if we get some more upsets to pull off. But let's take a look here, Brian, at the State of the Union here for Team USA's men's basketball team. A 2-0 record, 106.5 points per game, points allowed 85. Gold medal odds continue to rise. We're not to the knockout stage yet, but take a look at those two games, Brian. How do we feel about Team USA from before the Olympics to now and also the future of Team USA here?
Well, they made the right move, in my opinion, in getting Joel Embiid out of the rotation. Now, the way Steve Kerr is sort of structuring this, it looks like that's probably temporary because they're going to go back to him at some point. I actually think this is a game where you could do that because they're playing against Puerto Rican national team that I know very well because I am Puerto Rican, and we are a small team. We have one player who is above 6'8", and that is George Condit IV. He is their starting center. He is a good G League player and plays well in Puerto Rico in a professional league out there, but he's not a player that is probably going to stop Joel Embiid, at least not in a one-on-one situation. So this is probably a game that you could actually bring back Joel Embiid, and I'd be curious to see if Steve Kerr does that. And then also, you know, I feel like this shooting could have been better in the South Sudan game. It was great against Serbia. We'll see where that lands, but we haven't gotten the big Steph Curry game yet, for example. I think that's going to come at some point. Maybe it comes in this game against Puerto Rico before we get to the knockout stage. But overall, you have to feel like, in terms of watching them, they're the best team so far. Tier one, it's probably them. You could say they're by themselves. And then from there, you're looking at Canada and Germany being their biggest threat so far because France hasn't really lived up to expectations, despite the fact that they're 2-0.
Oh, we got a problem here, Brian, don't we? We have a problem, and no offense to your boys on the men's national team there, but Team USA is already talking about how they want the number one overall seed come the knockout stages and how they want to make sure and guarantee that they have the biggest point differential of anybody in the quarterfinals, which means there will be no taking the foot off the gas in this game. They're telling, like Steve Kerr is telling us, that a blowout is coming. The question is, do you think there is any shot they don't cover this number here?
Only from the standpoint of Puerto Rico could shoot the ball very well from three at high volume. They did it 38-39% in the World Cup last year, 33 the game. Same thing in the Olympic qualifying tournament that they hosted that they ended up winning despite being +470 underdogs, beating Lithuania and Italy. That's really the only recourse that they have. Right. It's just hot shooting. Other than that, like, we're actually going to know exactly what Team USA is going to need to win by to get that top seed, because even though right now, like, things are the way they are, and they actually have the highest point differential already. They're at +43, whereas Germany's +33. But by the time they play, Germany will have played France, and we're going to know the result of that. It's entirely possible that Team USA might have top spot anyway, and all they need to do is win. So I do think that they're going to have a potentially big offensive showing because they're playing a small team, and maybe they cover the 33.5. It's just a big number. But I think, now in terms of whether or not they're going to need to, they might not, honestly, the way this is looking. And I don't think Canada is going to beat Spain by like 30 points. So they might not have to worry about Canada in that regard.
If we're taking a look here at Team USA and also, quite frankly, the entire tournament itself, MVP odds are up. And, of course, you're going to be having the favorites on Team USA because of the favorites to win the gold medal. If we're looking at that price point market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, LeBron James a -104 price to take down the MVP, Kevin Durant, and also Steph Curry. Before we even see a non-American, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, RJ Barrett, Nikola Jokic here. If we're looking at Team USA, because that's the focal point, is it so easy right now, Brian, to say, as long as things are playing out the way they are, it's going to be LeBron James winning the MVP for the Olympics?
Yeah, and Kevin Durant would probably be the viable other option, because there are going to be games like against the Serbia game. Maybe he won't be like, you know, a million for a million or whatever he was from the field, but there will probably be games where he is, you know, leading the team in scoring, getting the crunch time buckets and things of that nature if the games get tight. And we probably will see a couple more tight games because it starts to get more competitive once you get in the knockout stage, and particularly past that once you get to the semifinals, especially if they run into Germany, for example, who won the World Cup last year and seems to always play Team USA tough over the last couple of years. So I think the spot you look at for Team USA, I'm surprised that Steph Curry's still there, although it's +1400. We just haven't quite seen it yet. We'll see. But LeBron or Durant, and Durant at +360, I think actually has some value, but I think it's going to be one of those two guys. And if you're looking elsewhere, like Dennis Schroeder, Franz Wagner is probably where you would look, because Germany, or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, because Germany and Canada look like they're the teams that are most competitive right now outside of Team USA.
So we do it. You mentioned, was it France and Germany getting ready to go head-to-head coming up here in the Olympics? And, of course, point differential will matter here. Who are you giving the edge to? Look at this number. We're talking 33.5, 34. Now we got 3.5. How competitive is this game going to be, you think?
So after France barely beat Japan in overtime, I was like, I want Germany for this next game. And then the line came out and it was like -2.5. And I didn't think they were going to be favored because the game is in France, you know, like this is the thing. And now I'm kind of like, oh, this might be a stay away for me, because Germany is favored against France in France. And it's like, all right, is France a team that we've seen that kind of struggles offensively and, you know, defensively, at least in the backcourt, they kind of struggle? Or have we just not seen them really pop yet? Now, we haven't seen it really in the World Cup last year. They didn't have Victor Wembanyama, and they were a team that could have won the World Cup. Like, they were good enough to do that, and they were the first team eliminated because they just flopped the first two games. And then this year in the scrimmages leading up to this, they lost like 4 straight and they didn't look great either. So maybe this is who France is. And if this is who France is, then yeah, I like Germany, because internationally, like, they figured it out. They got it together. They were the World Cup champions last year, despite having the 8th shortest odds and looking like that they weren't going to be past the quarterfinals team, and they ended up beating everybody. They went 8-0. So I would lean Germany here or nothing. But if this is the game that France finally puts it together, then everybody has to watch out, because it will have mean that they beat one of the best teams in this tournament and win the group.
Let's double down, too. By the way, 1.5 hours later from now, we do have another men's basketball game on deck. That's Spain and Canada. When you take a look here at Canada, about a 10-point favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook and a total of 169. Brian, give us a quick little addition here. Spain-Canada, what can we anticipate?
This is not an especially great Spain team. That being said, it wouldn't surprise me if they beat Canada, because Canada, they have these sort of drop-offs. Like, they're super talented, but they haven't been together as long. They're a poor man's version of Team USA, honestly, in terms of, like, they have, like, top-end talent. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is their best player, and some would argue that he's better than everybody on Team USA. I probably wouldn't, but some would argue that he is a top-5 player in the NBA. That I can probably agree with. You have Jamal Murray coming off their bench, who hasn't really played that well yet. You have RJ Barrett, who's actually playing really, really well. Like, this is a legitimate team. But Spain does have some cohesion. They did get a surprising win earlier against Australia in this group. So I think it's entirely possible that, no, not against Australia, that they beat Greece. But I think it's entirely possible that Spain could win this game, because they do still have their discipline, their ball movement. They're a big team, right? And Canada doesn't have a lot of, like, great size on this team. Like, Dwight Powell is one of their best bigs. Kelly Olynyk is still one of their best bigs and their team captain. So I think Spain could win this game, but this to me is another stay away, because do I trust Canada to put the foot on the gas when they kind of don't need to?
Brian Fonseca bringing that heat with the Olympics. Make sure you're following there all the great things he's doing at the Action Network. Much more hot topics next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
More hot topics on the way. I told you, we got you covered on every different angle. Tons of guests, tons of fun, tons of information. And Joe Ranieri, Do you want to talk tons of money right now? Because that's what we're dealing with now. Ooh. Adam Schefter tweeted yesterday, and I'm intertwined with this because I've been a subscriber to the Sunday Ticket on the Dish Network, on DirecTV. Now it's on YouTube. But yesterday, a federal judge has overturned a jury's $4.7 billion verdict in the class action lawsuit filed by Sunday Ticket subscribers against the NFL and has granted judgment to the NFL. Why can't, like, I always said, like, the little man. I never understood why it had to be on DirecTV, but let's start here. A jury of our peers says, pay these people their money because they got scammed out of high fees. And, of course, a judge then comes in and goes, you know what? I side with the NFL. Let them charge whatever they want, even if most of the market, A, doesn't want to pay that price, or B, can even get DirecTV. Let's start there, Joe Ranieri. How come the little man like us, we just can't get a couple dollars back on us being scammed? How's that happen?
Well, this is unfortunate, Donnie, because I've already spent the money I was awarded judgment there, and now it's not coming back to me here. And this might be the least surprising verdict that we have ever seen here, given the fact that when the initial number was awarded right from the first trial there, the NFL seemed very. Well, we're going to take it. We disagree. We're going to take it to an appeals judge, and we'll see how it goes there. Yeah, well, shocker, took the appeals judge not a very long time to be like, yeah, we're going to throw this thing out and start from scratch. So once again, it pays to have friends in very high places there, Donnie.
I tell you what was incredible, too, because, you know, we look at it sometimes just from our own personal opinions, right? Like, if you had the chance to get the dish in your townhouse, your condo, your HOA allowed it here, you still had to pay the regular service fees to DirecTV for whatever cable product they had, and then DirecTV on top of it to get the ticket. Which is fine. I understand that. But I was one of the people that had a basic cable service with Xfinity and then also had DirecTV on top of it. But I was willing to pay it because I wanted to get the Sunday Ticket. Now, yesterday on the radio, breaking it down more, because when you take a look at where it's been and where it goes to now, right? You say, okay, in the past, couple hundred bucks, I get it. Now it's with YouTube here. So now you're getting it just a little bit slower through the transmission of it going digital as opposed to from the dish, as opposed to cable here. All right, we'll live with that. Last year, they were offering discounts, Joe, like right off the bat. Hey, look, first year on YouTube, make sure you get it. Bang, bang, bang. I just got the email again about a week and a half ago. Mr. Rightside, we are going to automatically charge your credit card on this date, which I think was like August 4th, $425. Last year, I paid like $325. Like, we pay $425, and some people would say, oh, that could be a bargain. You have to think about it, though. It's only 18 weeks. Like, DirecTV doesn't work on a Monday for, let's just say, the ticket, on a Monday or a Thursday. It's only 18 Sundays. Playoffs, again, they're going to be on network TV. So the reason I get so bent out of shape is you compare it to other sports leagues. Like, if you want that, like, I have T-Mobile as my provider for phone service, right, for cellular service. I get it for free, MLB TV, so I can watch any game I want for free. Fantastic. I don't have to pay for it. But if I wanted to pay for it, Joe, $150, that's not 18 weeks. Yeah. That's like 18 games a day for 6 months here. The NFL charging well over $400 for 18 Sundays now. It is pretty egregious.
It's crazy. And, you know, that was the whole part of this trial, right, and this lawsuit. If you were a business and had the audacity to want to show football games in your restaurant or bar, you paid even more than that across the board for the same game.
So true.
I mean, it was just, it truly was ludicrous. And they got away with it for so long, Donnie, because they knew whatever choice did you have. So, and that's the problem there. It's you're paying over the top. For the rights to be able to watch, like you said, one day a week, pretty much, that's it, Sunday, one day a week, worth of football. And if you broke that down, it's per minute, it's absolutely phenomenal what you're paying to consume the NFL. But you know what? Supply and demand, right? If the demand is there, well, guess what? You're going to have to pay for it, and that's exactly what the NFL is hoping for, and that's exactly what we've been doing.
And by the way, you are so correct about this because, again, when we look at personally, like, I don't want to pay $425. I am going to pay the $425 because with the job we have and just the sports that you like, sure, and you handicap and you watch games. Look, Red Zone is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But when you have a bet placed on Denver and Pittsburgh, and that's not the national game and it's not on Red Zone, oh, my goodness, it's a big threat. Like, no, you want to watch that game and you'll pay for it. But also, Joe, as you pointed out, if we're paying $425 individually, like, take a look at the sports bars on a Sunday. They're not paying $425 individually. They're basically forced to pay a discount of the $420 rate per person that you have in your bar. So if you have a large sports bar that can fit, let's just say, 1,000 people on a Sunday, you don't pay $425. You are paying tens of thousands of dollars a week for the right to broadcast those games. That's what's so tough here. So when you see those numbers that, why is it $4 billion or $10 billion or whatever the original jury came up with, it's because those bars paid so much money, so egregiously, per person as well. And also, like, it's not just the NFL that does this. You want a Mayweather boxing match here? You want to put that on in your bar? And they said, man, why are they charging $50 as a cover charge for me to get in? Because that cable provider is charging them $50 per person just to go to the bar, whether you want to watch that boxing match or not at that point. It's insane what they get away with. And of course, we'll continue to get away with it. Why? Because judges will step in and say, that's just too much money, Joe. The NFL can't afford it.
How many tickets to the Super Bowl do you think that judge got? I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? Is that, I'm just kind of curious here on what maybe that had gone. And by the way, it's interesting to note that the judge didn't, in his ruling, disagree that there was an antitrust issue here. He didn't disagree with what the jury found out, just disagreed with the payment the award. So they still were guilty, basically, but now they don't have to pay anything. Unbelievable.
By the way, I do get a kick out of this, too, because if I'm on that jury, right, like, I'm not great with math there, but I take out my calculator and be like, hey, throw an extra billion to the people. You know what? Those bar owners put a couple extra billion on that, too. They almost got away with it, which is kind of funny. And the judge goes, look, man, your calculations are all off. You just can't make a number up and give the public that because that number, if it did go through, Joe, that was a massive price that really would have hurt the NFL. It looks like it's not going to happen here. Not in the Olympics. Let's cover it next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of hour number two. Boy, where does the time go, and how many topics can we get through? We just continue to knock them down left and right. You want ads that go against YouTube here? We'll knock them down here. We'll make some money for YouTube to knock down that $425 price. But if you want Olympic men's golf competition, I think you came to the right place. The two best golfing people on this network, I think you could agree. It's Show and Donnie here in the morning. How have you been enjoying? By the way, before we get to the leaderboard, Legoff Nacional, par 71, Xander Schauffele, the previous gold medal winner, now currently in the lead or tied for the lead here. Are you enjoying this men's golf? Mm-hmm. Are you watching it as much as you would a major here, Joe? What are you doing?
Oh, I absolutely am. I thought it was going to be very fascinating. Don't forget, the last one, Japan, right, 3-4 years ago, we had seven guys in a playoff for a bronze medal. And I think we're on track for another one of these. We could get a whole lot of extra golf come this weekend. I think that's going to be great. But the guy that had gold for the United States last time out, right there again. There's a lot of big names up at the top of this leaderboard, all vying, but maybe none better than Tom Kim, who is facing a 2-year mandatory military enlistment there from his country unless he wins a medal in an Olympics game. So that's who I'm looking for. I'm all about motivation in these games here, and I'm hoping Tom Kim finishes somewhere near silver or a bronze in order to be able to get it done.
That's a tough scene there. Like, there's no other way we can get out of that here for Tom Kim. You can't, like, you know, give a little bit of purse money away if you, you know, get a top 10 on a PGA Tour event. You, like, you want to talk about pressure. You're either going to the military or going to medal here. And this guy's performing. He's in the top 10 right now. Through 13 holes, he's 6 under, but he is 5 shots back. But again, you don't have to win the tournament or win the gold medal. Right. You just have to medal. A silver or a bronze will be just fine. If we look at the rest of the top 10, there are some big names up there. Schauffele, as we just told you, about 11 under in the lead, along with Tommy Fleetwood and Hideki Matsuyama. John Rahm playing very good golf here, just outside of that top three at a 9 under par after shooting a 66 today. But I like to talk about here the Terminator at a 12-1 price right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. That's Scottie Scheffler, but he doesn't sit anywhere near the top. He's, what is he, 7 shots? I think he's, yeah, 7 shots back right now, and only a 12-1 price. The expectations on Scheffler, like, oh, he'll get it together and come back from 7 shots down. Incredible that he's still bet this way here.
Yeah, it is kind of a battle, but I don't see it. Listen, it's a very beatable course, but the problem is being this far back, he's even par through 11 holes, Donnie. The problem with being this far back is everybody ahead of you is also able to throw up numbers. I mean, Shoffley was 5 under again today. Matsuyama's still on the course. He's only 3 under. And Tommy Fleetwood is 6 under already, and he's still got 5. So 63s are very possible. If you find yourself too far behind at the end of today, you ain't catching up on Saturday and Sunday. And that's where Scheffler finds himself right now.
Yeah, by the way, taking a look again at Tom Kim, obviously from South Korea, we see this sometimes even in other fields, because that lets you know, like, you are not exempt from anything. Some of the biggest pop stars that come out of South Korea still have to do this, you know, sort of tour of duty for the country. It's like, does he, is there a length of this? Like, does he just lose a couple years of his career due to this? Like, he doesn't get furloughed on the weekend to go play golf. Like, you're out of your profession for what, 1 to 2 years at least? How do we even know how long?
Man, it is? 2 years. Mandatory enlistment for 2 years unless you deliver a gold medal in a world on a world stage. And it's it was Tom Kim and Benny An, too, for South Korea. It's mandatory for every male in that country, and there's only one way out of it. And this is his chance to make sure that he just continues. Otherwise, we won't see him for a couple of years.
Yeah, we take a look at the top three. If I had to give you a free bet, Joe, right now, you got Schauffele, you got Fleetwood, and you got Matsuyama. Now, keep in mind, Schauffele's already through his round number two at a 66 at 11 under. Fleetwood's still out on the golf course, and Matsuyama. And they're 15, 16, 17, and 18 to play, so there's a chance that they can take the lead before the end of this round. Who would you bet out of those three guys?
I think Xander's still the guy to beat, by far. Not even close. Yeah. I think there is no better golfer in the world right now than Xander Schauffele. He is the defending gold, you know, gold medal winner in golf, and I don't see any reason why that's going to change here. It'll be, I think, silver and bronze is going to be a race. I think that's going to be the best race, but I do think gold will go to Xander Schauffele. He will pull away when it's all said and done.
John Rahm lurking there in the weeds, shoots 66 today, 9 under par, starting to get some of that great golf that we've seen for so many major championships from him. We'll see if that continues this weekend. Hour number three is on deck. Who's going to be here? Come on back and find out.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.